dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox. Hello there, SBC fans, wherever you might be and whatever you might be doing as you listen to this edition of SBC Sports Talk. I can't talk, and you'd think after 182 other episodes, this one being 183, that I'd have that down pretty well, but I guess my tongue just kind of got in the way of my teeth or vice versa there. I don't know which. Anyway, we are brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, all kinds of fun under one roof. That is Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can get your Cardo's Pizza, book your parties and events. They have sports, the arcade, super inflatable land, and with this warmer weather that's upon us, maybe you're even thinking about inflatable rentals. They can take care of you. 740-773-7529. Find them on the web at www.triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com and tell them the boys from SVC Sports Talk sent you. Again, Bruce Knox here with you, and right across the desk here from me, one Mr. Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com. How are you, Shane?
Great, Bruce. I know it's our final winter show here. Looking forward to talking some really good topics, some good feedback that have been coming in, and then we might even peek ahead to spring here before we get out of here.
Ooh, show our hand, so to speak, a little bit, right? Might be. And then our other host, Mr. Derek Webb. Derek, how are you? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Derek was not able to be with us tonight, and how unfortunate it is. We're recording this on Sunday evening, and he had some other things going on, so he wasn't able to be with us. And it really is, we look forward to getting together and talking SVC sports and having all kinds of fun here as we do so. We have a tendency to kind of rib one another and just an enjoyable time of, I guess, lack of something better, fellowship for three kind of wild and crazy guys. If Derek were here, there's a couple things that we were going to discuss with him. One being the fact that we saw this week that Derek's story got picked up by USA Today, and his story was on Kayla Jackson of Southeastern. I think she was a band member who in 2012 lost her ability to see color. And Derek happened to be on hand when and he was actually taking some video, I think, and wrote the story about
really good stuff.
Yeah. It was a good human interest story and kind of one of those goosebump moments if you're into that kind of thing. Picked up on the 23rd in USA Today. So congratulations to Derek Webb. We applaud your human kindness and your human interest side of your abilities, and just congratulations on that. And then the other thing we're going to probably talk about, and this is kind of big news here in the Chillicothe area, and almost unfortunate, but at the same time a great thing. Mr. Sir Brock Netter is moving on and going to be leaving. I think he's going to Coshocton, Shane, and going to take over some of the sports writing up there, I believe.
Yeah, Brock's a really, really good guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, the more I've had a chance to get to know him, it's been really neat because as a coach myself, I've worked from coach to reporter. But then beyond that, what's been neat this past fall is we got to know more friend to friend. Yeah. And we worked together on the round table. He's a really good writer. He has good style. He has great people skills. I know you talked to me about that a little bit in our pre-show meeting, mm-hmm. about how you'd met him just the one time and you felt like you'd known him forever.
Yeah. Easy to talk to.
Yeah. And that, I think that's what makes him so good at his job. And I think that's why he'll be able to go to a new area and almost overnight, just make those connections that, and make those friendships that you really do have to have if you're going to cover a league or an area of high school sports. And I think I can't say enough good things about him. I wish him the best. Obviously, we hate to lose him, but at the same time, as he starts to get older and starts to mature in his profession there, it's a great opportunity for him, and we wish him nothing but the best.
We certainly do. And, Brock, if you're listening to this and your drive to and from Coshocton or wherever you may be going, we really do appreciate everything you've done for us. We've had some fun at Derek's expense, you and I, and we're going to miss you, but we do wish you the best. Shane mentioned earlier that this is our final winter show. It's episode 183, as I alluded to earlier. And Shane, outside of this week's feature discussing the off season for some of the league's best players, it sounds like we've had three key topics in this week's comments, and we're going to kind of discuss some of these. Came in through feedback. First of all, in the boys' side of things right now, this question popped up. It says, what do you think of all the upsets in tournament basketball?
Yeah, Bruce, the reason this question jumped out at me is over the last probably 3, 4, 5 days, it's been impossible to be in and out of all the gyms that I've been out of, in and out of, and not have some people talk to me about, man, it seems like a lot of the lower seeds, and when I say lower, I mean higher number,
right,
have been winning. And it is kind of true. You know, it's kind of our February madness, if you will, here in high school basketball. Yeah, here's probably my biggest feedback on, or my biggest reaction to the feedback, Bruce. Tournament basketball is so unique. When I think of where it's unique in sports, everybody gets a shot, and it can be brutally hard for the favorites. I mean, you play all year, and you really only get a slight advantage if you think about it. Yeah, you're on a neutral site. It's one game and done. It's not like you're playing best of three, best of five. You know, if I'm a lot better than you and we play best of five, I'm probably going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm a little bit better than you and we play one time, well, it can be a coin flip.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you play 22 games and all of a sudden maybe a team that went through an injury, when you think of what happened with Corey Wyman in Westfall, maybe it's a team that's been really, really young. And they've grown, such as the guard play for a Paint Valley or a Southeastern. You know, it's all of this game experience. Maybe your schedule was really, really difficult. You know, like a Chillicothe we talked about, boys. You know, so, you know, it's hard. I mean, people don't understand how hard it is to win. Winning is extremely hard. And it's crazy how we look at the tournament sometimes. And it's crazy how coaches could go way up or way down in terms of people's opinions based on just one game.
Right.
Because, you know, it's almost like you forget if a coach had an incredible regular season where they win a league championship or maybe really overachieve and then get beat in a tournament, all of a sudden you listen to people walk to their car and it's like it's like they've totally forgotten what's happened over the last 4 or 5 months. And you understand that in terms of the initial reaction, but you hope when people step away that they still have enough common sense. Now, it can also happen the other way. You can totally bury just a complete mess of a season, an underachieving season sometimes. Sometimes you can fix it all in just, you know, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It's really kind of a wild thing when you look at it, because I, as a coach, you know, approach it as a coach, but then as a fan, you know, yesterday, just to give you an idea, on my Saturday, I was out at Southeastern watching Uniota. Then I came back and went to Waverly, watched the first three quarters of North Adams Peebles, ran to the car to listen to Vinton County for an hour and a half, came right back in to watch Paint Valley. So that was kind of my day.
Yeah.
And in doing all of that, 5, 6, 7 different schools in the process, you know, coming in and out of those gyms, I kind of got the chance to just kind of listen to them or listen in the stands. And it's just kind of it is kind of neato, but I'm telling you how final and how brutal tournament basketball can be. I think that's where all the emotion comes from.
Yeah. And you got to remember that, you know, everybody and anybody can have a bad day. I mean, you know, and when that happens, it's unfortunate. And then you got throw in the fact that you're playing some young people who are, what, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. And, you know, in addition to having a bad day, they can have a really bad day, and a couple of them can, you know, have the flu. And I mean, there's just so many things that can you know, help determine the outcome. And it's that team.
Yeah, when you break down any regional or state run, especially when tournaments go to that level,
yeah,
it's always neat to look back and think of, hey, that little break that we caught here, that yeah. one play that we made there, that one crazy shot that went in for us there, that type of thing. You're exactly right.
And it just builds on those things. You know, each mm-hmm. thing that happens like that, it's amazing. You can go back and kind of map it out. Well, Shane, what do you think, and another thing that came in, what do you think of the Southeastern Ironton game as well as the Lady Panthers just moving forward? That was kind of a
well, wasn't that something?
Yeah.
Just completely special. I mean, that was crazy. And you know, remember our favorite show that we started doing there at the end of last year, Bruce, where we were giving away our sports zonies.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
you called it.
Yeah,
the SVC sports zoning.
How quickly we forget.
I tell you, that was one I have to admit, when I had come home and I was typing in my notes here and putting it on the website, I tagged that one there a little bit just to kind of remember. I certainly think we'll revisit that at some point later.
You got to come up with a better name, though. That's all I
can say. I'll leave that to DBK Media Services.
Oh, good. I'll get the people behind the scenes working on that right away.
Yes.
Okay.
The triple overtime, though, you know, on at the end of that first overtime, Ironton banks in about a 30-footer, and, you know, Southeastern had the foul to give, but are you going to foul and risk fouling the shooter there when you've already forced her out to, you know, 30 feet? Well, she banks it in, and then at the end of the first overtime, it looks like Southeastern season's over, and Ella Skeens does what Ellis Gaines does, right, which is just be special and make a big time shot. And, you know, in the end, you survive in advance. That's why they have that saying. It doesn't matter at all. Like when you go into that next round, it doesn't matter that you've won by 20 or won in triple overtime. You just, you know, it's next game, next opponent. And it's, you know, going forward, I like the group. I just feel like they get stronger and stronger as they go. Now, let's not make any mistake about it. There's some really good teams out there. We talked about the difference in basketball and volleyball. A lot of these Southeast District teams are more into their basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, where maybe in our league, we're a little bit more into club volleyball across the girls' population. But you know, you go to play a good Eastern Brown team. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But I'll tell you what, they certainly should be motivated to play them when you consider the district voting from a team perspective, an individual perspective, a coach perspective. I'd say there's plenty there to have Southeastern's attention. But with Collins coming on, the Mittens playing well, I thought Heist was tremendous the other night in overtime. I just really, their role players, Morris, across the board have been really, really good. I'm excited to see him play for that district title.
One other piece of feedback that I want to kind of get to, and I saw that you had labeled this the best email of the week. The writer asked, what is the number one factor in being a successful team in the tournament? Can you narrow it down to just one thing?
Well, I do want to comment on the email. The email is outstanding because I guess when you do this show, what are we in? You're six now and the website's seven or eight.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what happens is you get a lot of the same questions, which is fine because, you know, sports kind of takes on the same pattern each year, but different things happen. What's so awesome about this one is I can't remember really ever being asked this. So whenever I get a new question, it really makes me stop and think a little bit more. It always kind of catches my attention. For me, Bruce, I would say composure. I would say maybe poise.
Yeah.
I think these crowds are so big. The atmospheres are so incredible. The intensity in the gym, the passion. You know, I know when I'm sitting in the car listening to a Vinton County game or I'm at a Vinton County game, how my you know, interest, obviously, or my rooting interest goes up. When I'm watching those Paint Valley kids play the other night, you know, I'm kind of a little bit more on the edge of my seat as it was getting close. Whereas when I'm watching North Adams in Portsmouth,
mm-hmm.
I just, you know, I'm hanging out watching a basketball game,
yeah.
just, you know, enjoying some other things. So what you do is you get a lot of different perspectives of the atmospheres. And when I watch kids play in these games, the composure is so, so crucial because the crowds are so intense. They hang on every call. The reactions to the calls are ramped up. The coaches are intense. The officials are probably a little bit more intense. And your ability as a player to just calm down, And when emotions get high, you keep yourself poised and because it just takes a few seconds, especially if you're the team that's not quite as talented.
Yeah.
It just takes a few seconds, a few possessions where you lose your composure and maybe take some bad shots, or you're not in the proper spot of a press breaker. I saw that happen to a young team the other night where they were outscored about 10-0, where they just didn't quite have a couple kids in the right spot, a couple young kids. And before you know it, you were in the game a minute ago and now you're not.
Yeah.
So it's just a situation where if I had to narrow it down to one thing, I would say composure, because I think composure is the one consistent that at least gives a kid, no matter what your talent level is, a chance to do your job. And a lot of times I think that's why it is easier with experience. And it is easier with great kids, because if you already have great kids with great character, well, their chances of having great character and great composure are that much higher. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's how do you teach composure, though?
Well, I think you have to address it. You have to talk about it. I think the same way I would talk to kids about, hey, you missed that box out on film, or you did this on film, I think you have to coach that. I think in practice situations with intensity or reaction, I think when it comes to film and different things, reaction to call. I can remember having a JV girl earlier this year that, good kid, she lost her composure and she got called for traveling. She was more upset with herself. Well, she tossed the ball over her head. Well, that's not where the official was. Ball went halfway out to the lobby. Mm-hmm. Well, you can imagine I snapped a little bit, and I had the official hand her the ball back before the other team ended up taking it out and had her walk over and hand it to him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a situation of – those are some things of just where – because hopefully if you can control those things at a younger age as they get older – luckily, that was just a JV game. Imagine if that's in front of 2,000 people in a sectional game.
Yeah.
You know? All of a sudden now that could have been a technical, it could have been a lot of different things. So I guess to answer your question is you make it important. You make it something that you pay close attention to, and a lot of it is experience. A lot of it's just being in that situation. You'll always notice some of your juniors and seniors can handle that a little bit more. That's why when I see a freshman or sophomore not afraid of the moment or have great poise in those situations, that's something that really catches my eyes, is, hey, he or she's going to be really, really good.
Impressive, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fans, as some of our teams are preparing for spring sports, we still have some playing for district championships. Up next, we start on the boys' side, where we have half the league convo bound. Episode 183 of SEC Sports Talk with Bruce Knox, Shane Combs, and one in absentia, Mr. Derek Webb, who's not with us this evening. And we miss you so much, Derek. Anyway, it's the boys' side of things now, as we've done the open here, and we'll be moving to the girls in just a little bit later. But we kind of want to talk a few headlines on the boys' side. First one being Unioto advancing.
Yeah, we'll just kind of go down through here and hopefully get a chance to talk about the half the league going to the convo. I put a title on the website there, mm-hmm, where I talked about, I felt like, Bruce, the boys were making a statement. It was a situation where all year long, I mean, every week we've been using the word parity, right? And a lot of other people have been asking, well, does that mean bad, or does that mean, you know, it's more quantity in the middle there than quality. And, you know, you hear all these different comments. Well, now all of a sudden you have four teams going to the convo, and the four that are not have been beaten by the SEC.
Yeah.
So that was really our maximum opportunity. So yeah, Unioto obviously leads the way there. And I guess it was expected, but again, it's not easy. Division II is insane this year. You know, my biggest observation when I watched the game the other day was their defensive effort. I felt like they really were more together on the defensive end. Now, I'm not blind to the fact that McLean does not have a great backcourt. They have pretty solid front court, but their ball handling's a little young, a little iffy. But with that said, I still felt like Unieta was really locked in. Their attention to detail was really, really good. And I was impressed with Unieta's versatility. Coach Hoops went with some two-post lineups, and then he went with the versatility of Fisher, where, you know, Fisher kind of gives you the feel of that extra, you know, post or hybrid player, if you will, but still can come out and extend the floor with some defensive pressure. Then he can even go really small when he got Edler and Ivy and some guys involved playing with White and Kennedy and Swackhammer. So he has a lot of mixture. And Unieta's versatility in the post with athletes like Hill and Fisher, I think really give them the chance to match up with a lot of different teams. So as they get to the combo here, Division II is really, really good. But I feel like Unieta's played a tough non-league schedule that's helped them along the way. And, you know, if they're peaking here at the right time and they can find some different ways to score the basketball, I still think they're a team that can be dangerous and they can really compete at that level down there in Athens.
Next headline being Piketon winning a sectional title over Eastern Brown.
Yeah, I would almost refer to this as a process win, Bruce. And what I mean by that is, you know, this was a pretty young group last year, but they were always aggressive. And, you know, you just felt like when you watched them last year, hey, if these guys kind of get 15 to 20 pounds bigger, get a year older, you just felt like it was going to be a different looking team. And what's funny about this team is they just go physically attack you. They're not that big, but they just physically play so hard. And we talk about maturity and we talk about development. Again, a year or two ago, you labeled them as, hey, their weakness is they're not quite physically ready. So it's just it reminds you that there's a big difference in young men who are 17, 18 years old compared to 14, 15. And, you know, Piketon's a great example of that. Moore's really become a star. Coming up on the doorstep of 1,000, I want to say 11 away, entering the tournament game here at the Combo. And, they certainly have a tough task ahead, by far the toughest matchup at the Combo of the four. But, hey, you never know. I mean, you know, the way Veach and Zimmerman have started to play, they need the young kids to continue to grow, and Reeder and Lytle have been really good. I just think when you consider Coach Legg comes back home, he gets hired late. Their schedule at the beginning of the year was brutal. And if you remember, Eastern Brown beat them in the regular season. I think by like, I don't have that score in front of me, but like close to 10. So, and I mean, the other night, Piketon just whooped them. I mean, beat them in every aspect. I mean, I think the final score was 20-22, something like that, but it almost had the feel of it could have been 25-30. So it's an incredible turnaround when you consider just, you know, 3-4 months later to see that type of turnaround. So yeah, it's Piketon really trusting the process and the experience and the maturity of an older group, staying with the new coach and bringing some of the younger kids along, and really happy for them. And again, the challenge is going to be tough, but I think that they'll go and represent our league quite well.
Yeah, the score was 62-40, so they really put it on them. And another thing there, you said they would be better with 15 pounds and 1 year older. You just described my progression over the past year. So.
Yeah, the problem is I'm talking from like 15 to 18. Okay. Problem is I've continued to do that all the way to 39.
I understand. Yeah. I wish I was only at 39. Anyway, our next headline is the Southeastern upset of Lynchburg Clay.
Yeah, this has to be the story of the league so far, doesn't it? I mean, in the postseason, we all love us a good Cinderella story. When the March Madness brackets come out, you're always looking for those upsets. And here we are in the high school game. We get one of those. Aaron Benson was just terrific. He had the tip in there against Lynchburg Clay, Zane Trace, and then the great performance against Lynchburg Clay. We obviously know what you're going to get with Hartman shooting it and Bodery on the inside, but I think really the biggest impact was the improved guard play. The freshman Ruby in the backcourt, not turning it over, playing efficient. You get some athletes like Smith and Dawson, and all of a sudden Southeastern can put a pretty athletic group. In watching Southeastern play all year, I've never felt like they've been athletically overmatched. I've always felt like it's been more of a ball handling issue, a pass and catch issue, because quite frankly, on their front line, they match up quite well with a lot of different teams. And Southeastern's been a team that has played into the fourth quarter with so many different teams this year and just hasn't quite found a way to win. So when they were – Zane Trace had a chance to put them away in that semifinal and didn't. And Southeastern got all the way back and then to win on a tip play, a tip in there, and set up an opportunity to play the top seed in Lynchburg-Clay. And I think they just kind of ride that momentum. And, you know, now they go and they come out of that – they basically, Bruce, come out as the one seed because mm-hmm. you know, they beat the top seed. Yeah. So, you know, they're going to play – they're going to play a solid team, but – but it's, again, it's a team I think they'll be able to compete with it there. So, you know, I just think Southeastern's an example of our league. It's battle tested. I've never tried to sit on here and say our league's amazing. But what I did say, if you know, for people listening to SVC Sports Talk, you've heard me say every single week that hey, we're battle tested. And we failed some tests throughout the year. If you're Southeastern, look at it kind of like education. They yep. failed some tests throughout the 9 weeks. They failed some tests throughout the 9 weeks. But as the teacher, you reteach it and you take it again. And I think learning. It's safe to say they passed the final exam. So.
Yeah, and they were in front on all four stops, or all three stops, I guess, going to the final, 65-62 there.
And, yeah, if you didn't know the records or know the history yeah. of the regular season, you'd almost just feel like they were the better team that night. I mean,
yep, that was an exciting game. And then our all SVC bracket, we've got Edina, Westfall, Huntington, and Paint Valley.
My word for this bracket, I think, Bruce, is probably just typical.
Yeah,
I mean, if you watched all year, you know, I don't know if you were surprised by this. Quite honestly, you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that I, like anyone else, if I had to predict, wouldn't have predicted a Dean and Paint Valley in the final. But, you know, you throw in a Corey Wyman. So you're sitting there 2-20 and Wyman had come back the last two regular season games. And, you know, I don't know. Corey Wyman's probably 50, 55, 60% of himself right now, which, you know, usually he's not real, real good. But what that does is it makes him a pretty solid decent high school guard. Player, right? Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a guy in four games that scored, I don't know, like 11, 9, 14, and 5. You know, so he's a kid that certainly gave them a lift. And they just come out against the Dean and shot the ball real well and were able to do some different things. And in the end, in that bracket, what happened was PV was just too talented. Huntington and Westfall simply couldn't score at the rate for 32 minutes that those games were being played at. I thought both teams did some good things against the zone. And then I thought, you know, kind of ironically, remember what I talked about earlier with poise? Mm-hmm. I don't even know if this would be classified as poise as much. I think it's just what Paint Valley does to you. You know, both of those teams, I can go to a couple possessions late in the third quarter and then early in the fourth quarter where maybe they got a little out of sync. Maybe they get a little tired. Their shot selection goes a little bit and then it just gets away. You know, both teams just had a few of those spurts. But, you know, for Dean, it's tough. Yeah, because you know, I'm not making excuses for them, but let's face it, you know, a Corey Wyman back in the lineup, you're all of a sudden not playing the normal 2-20 team there. Mm-hmm. So those are those little things we talk about in the tournament that happen, and it's one and done. You know, if Westfall and Edina played a best of seven series, do I think Westfall would beat them? I don't. But on that given night, they played with great emotion. And I'll tell you what, Westfall came back and played with great emotion Saturday night. They led Paint Valley for much of that game. But, yeah. You know, they kind of went with a different philosophy there with Swingle, which honestly wasn't a bad philosophy. They kind of let Swingle just go, and they took away the three-point shot. Because I think Paint Valley had been a team that had hit like 40 threes in their four previous games.
Yeah.
Well, they went with the idea of we're going to let Swingle go, and you know, they really took the three-point shot away. Obviously, Swingle got loose for 34, but in the end, they just couldn't score at that rate. So honestly, I give their defensive game plan a little bit of credit because I don't think Paint Valley hit more than, I want to say three threes in that game. So that's a pretty good job. They just weren't able. And give Caden Grubb and Cruz McFadden a lot of credit on the defensive end. I thought in the top of their zone there, really, in both of those games, really got after the Huntington and Westfall guards. So, again, just typical is the word for that bracket, because when you've watched teams 2 through 8 play all year long, you knew the types of games you were going to get coming into that bracket, and it certainly didn't disappoint.
I was just going to – you kind of just maybe said it there, but, you know, we talk parity 2 through 8, and when you get into an all-SVC bracket like this, isn't this indicative of that parity that we've talked about so much in a way?
Well, it is, and what's neat about the storyline here, Bruce, for me, is it comes full circle, because in the end, the difference – in that mixture is Dylan Swingle. I mean, he's we haven't seen anything like him in our league, and it's really a neat thing to watch right now, the way he's progressing. I think he's got an entire another year is really special. But, you know, Paint Valley becomes the same type of team going down to the convo. They become, it's not about, hey, can Paint Valley match up with this team or this team or this team? It's about, hey, can this team even, do they have anything at all they can do to this kid?
Yeah,
you know, he's that good.
How far up is Dylan on the all points all time list?
He has come up to 30, I believe it is.
Okay.
I think I have that here handy. Yeah, he's 1193 coming up this past weekend. He passed some really, really good players: Aaron Skeens, Mike Adams, a high school teammate of mine, Jason Cruz. If all goes well in the next game, he'll pass a couple really good players, Chris Beard of Zane Trace. So, you know, obviously a lot of that depends on how many games they have left this year.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a kid that if the good Lord will bless him with the injury free senior season, he'll have an awesome opportunity to run down, Ronnie Shoemaker there at Paint Valley, as well as my brother Matt there at the number one spot, because Matt was at 1726, and with Dylan there coming up on 1200, certainly a possibility.
Well, he'll be worth the price of admission. He is now, and he will be next year.
No question. Yeah.
All right, Shane, let's go to the boys segment of the Fast Break.
Yeah, this will give us a couple extra chances here in this last winter show to make sure we give a shout-out Crown Hill Golf Club. They've just been outstanding to the website, and the growth of that golf course up there has been awesome, and the way they've started to get some local events for our league and for our district. And I really encourage people to give them a call, 740-986-4653. We're getting some good weather here and there, and you know spring's just around the corner, so talk to them about some membership packages. Let them know you're coming from the Chillicothe area and tell them SVC Sports Talk sent you. And, you know, Bruce, obviously with Derek out tonight, we'll go to the three questions, and I'll just fly solo here. You ask it, I'll answer it. So here we go with the Crown Hill Golf Club Fast Break version for our boys segment.
What is it that you like about the upcoming trips for the four SVC teams to the Convo?
Well, I kind of like the matchups for Southeastern and Paint Valley. You certainly also like Uniota's experience. The injury they went through last year with their really special team did give a lot of these guys a taste of it. So I talked about Swingle with Paint Valley being a matchup issue. You think about Southeastern's kind of playing with house money, aren't they? I mean, they're going, so those three teams all come in a very positive angle that I think you can approach it with.
On the other hand, what would you say is your biggest concern for the SVC in district play?
Well, I think if I'm being honest, Piketon has the toughest matchup. You know, but hey, they're old. They have good guard play, so they handle the ball well. They are tough kids. They're certainly not going to back down. They will flat put it on the line and compete. So I'm excited to watch them. I think all four teams are going to represent our league quite well. But if I'm just giving a basketball analyst approach here of the matchup, I think Piketon by far has the toughest one.
Name a player or two not on the all-league team that certainly played at an all-league level during the sectional tournament.
Well, this is pretty easy here. It would be Aaron Benson of Southeastern. He was terrific. We highlighted him earlier. Looks like he's going to be a Herbie Strange. In fact, I think that went on tonight. Herbie Strange, Athlete of the Week. And He was terrific. Had the nice game capped off with the tip in to beat Zane Trace, and then had the 21 point performance against Lynchburg Clay. Some other guys that jump out. I mean, Caden Grubbs defensively for Paint Valley was outstanding. His effort was an X factor for Paint Valley throughout the sectional weekend there. If I wanted to cheat a little bit, could I say Corey Wyman? obviously he was an all-league player, but he was not a selection with his situation. He obviously really sparked the Mustangs there in the Adena win. But there's some other honorable mention kids that had some good. But to answer the question with just one kid, the Benson kid of Southeastern would be a no-brainer.
And that is the boys segment of the Fast Break, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. Give them a call, 740-986-4653, and tell them the boys from SVC Sports Talk sent you. Want to mention our one of our other sponsors, that being C&K Athletic Equipment. They are located at 116 East High Street in Circleville, 740-477-9828. They are your local school apparel source for all the SVC teams and the other area teams around here as well. They also have fitness gear, all your sports accessories, including headwear and other sports equipment. They are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 to 12, and closed on Sunday. Again, the phone number, 740-477-9828. And by the way, you can find them on the web as well. Probably get more information we can give you there in 30 seconds or so. cnkathleticequipment.com. Well, we move now to the girls section, and we talked about the Southeastern win earlier in the opening. What's their key to continuing to advance, Shane?
I think a lot of it's going to have to do with just the toughness categories, defense and rebounding, and they've certainly proved themselves capable here. This is a team that's won on the road at Miami Trace. Mm-hmm. They beat a good Amanda Clear Creek team. They won at North Adams. They beat Uniota twice with a lot on the line, and played against physical Piketon team and so forth. So I think toughness is the first thing. Obviously, this time of year, you need your stars to play like stars, and I certainly don't doubt that Ella Skeens and Audrey Wheeler will do that. I think Eastern Brown is a team that does a lot of the things with great efficiency. They have a little bit of size. I think Southeastern can match up. You heard me mention some of the role players earlier. Mm-hmm. Their efficiency, when Southeastern's really, really going, you'll see four or five role players shoot a really efficient percentage, and that tells you that they're getting things off of Skeens and Wheeler. Wheeler's assist total's really been high here of late. That tells you she's being aggressive and looking to get other people involved. So, yeah, I just like that. There's something about this particular Southeastern team that I just really like more than I did a year ago. I just feel like they've really grown in some of those areas, and those are some of those areas. We talked about composure and poise, and some of that toughness is what it is, and they're just a year better in those categories. Last year, I felt like if you had a couple good athletes, there were things you could do to at least contain, Skeens or contain Wheeler. There were some things that maybe you could force their role players to do that they were not comfortable doing. This year, I don't totally get that. I mean, I see some pretty good athletes and some pretty creative defenses going at Skeens, and she just keeps on keeping on. And like I said, Wheeler's been terrific, and the role players have certainly shown themselves capable when needed.
I was just going to ask you about the composure, but you took care of that right there. So you're doing
well. And it really is. It really is the experience, because when you go to a Miami Trace and do that,
yeah.
I made the comment when they won at Miami Trace, that's a district champion regional semifinal type of win.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's our last winter show, Shane, and some fans have asked us to do something a little different, and not even I completely know what this is. So something apparently we started a few years back. So I want you to explain this next segment to us.
Yeah, I don't totally know. We'll just kind of fly with it here and see how bad we can mess it up.
Okay.
But I think the point is, oh gosh, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, it might even be clear back to the beginning, we we had come across an email where they were talking about a couple different kids, and they were highlighting some of the things they did really well, and they were asking what are some things we need, we think they need to do to improve in the off season. Well, it kind of stuck there, and year to year we've done some things. Well, last year I don't remember doing it, and I had some people ask me, hey, I really enjoyed a segment that you guys used to do talking about some players with all the young players. It kind of started as a girls thing here. Mm-hmm. So I thought instead of doing the fast break, we'll still give our shout out to Crown Hill Golf Club. So let me by all means pass that number on again. Crown Hill Golf Club will be the sponsor of our girls feature segment this week, 740-986-4653. Give them a call. Tell them SVC Sports Talk sent you. And what we'll have Crown Hill sponsor here in our feature section, Bruce, instead of a fast break, is we'll kind of go down through a list of kids that they had given. So, again, if your kid's not being mentioned or maybe your school's not being mentioned, it's just kind of the way the feedback, looking at a lot of the names, I think a lot of people might be looking at groups of kids, mm-hmm. or they might be looking at the some of the younger returners that were on the all-league team, those types of things. But even though we may not be able to do it on a show, if you hear this segment and you kind of like it, even if we have some time, we might do a couple boys here at the very end, even though it's a girls segment. But I don't know that we'll be able to go through every single part of the list that they send, but you know, if you want me to talk to you about some other kids not mentioned, do that. And I could still maybe do that through some email response. So Bruce, I'll just kind of let you kind of go down through the fan feedback there, and as many as you think. I'll try to keep my responses short so that we might be able to highlight as many kids as possible.
Okay, the first one that are asked about, or first two that are asked about, are both from Piketon. Those being Grace Lytle and Avery Reuter.
Yeah, the backcourt there at Piketon, obviously mm-hmm. not done this year. Now, by the time people listen, I guess it could be. They certainly will have their hands full in the district game against a really good Fairland team. But, you know, again, Piketon girls will be a team that plays really hard. But, this is interesting because these two come back next year. They've played their careers to this point with a couple six-footers inside. Next year, Piketon's going to take on a little bit of a different look. I think these kids play so hard. They play so aggressive on the defensive end. I think if I were going to talk about their improvement in the offseason, because that's kind of what the theme of this is, what do I as a coach think they would need to improve going in the offseason? Probably just some of the ability to create their own offense. You know, a lot of times what happens, Bruce, is when you're trying to guard 2 6-footers inside, you have to send extra help. So, you know, maybe these kids have come across some a little bit more space, a little bit more freedom. Next year, they're going to move up on the scouting report a little bit. Both are very, very capable of taking on this role. But I think it's going to be their ball handling and their ability to create their own shot a little bit from the perimeter and on the drive. I think that's going to be their biggest offseason focus.
Okay. As a coach, then, talk some offseason improvement for a couple of Huntington players, Braden Collins and Kelsey McDonald.
Yeah, two sophomores that'll come back next year as juniors. Obviously, had all league years. You know, I guess what's crazy when I say this about Braden is in my mind, I think of needing to add different ways to score. And I'm talking about a sophomore that scored like 21 a game. Wow. But what's scary about that, Bruce, is what I mean is, she's a kid that honestly is a great defender in terms of making things happen. She plays in transition, and then she's a really good free throw shooter. Well, she plays so hard and she's so athletic that by the end of the night, a lot of times that added up to 20. Mm-hmm. But this is a kid that the more she develops the ability to shoot the perimeter shot, and she develops just a little bit more counter moves with her ball handling, able to go left a little bit. That's what's scary about her is she's a kid that's averaging 21 already, and she's just scratching the surface. So I think her perimeter shooting and a little bit of her left-handed ball handling is going to be two big off-season keys for her. And then Kelsey McDonald is as talented as any player we have coming back in the league when you just look at pure raw skill. Her biggest thing is just going to be maturing as a player. If she can really focus on just playing the game harder at the varsity speed, particularly on the defensive end, she's a kid that can really rebound. I think she's a kid that as she focuses in a little bit more and becomes a little bit more intense as a player, she could really go. So I don't know if it's much for her skill as much as it is just getting herself an opportunity to play in as much varsity game setting as possible in the offseason and really focusing on playing at that game speed.
Okay, the next one was not specific as to a particular player, but it was pertaining to Paint Valley. And the fan who wrote in wanted to know who you think is the off-season key. So I guess you can kind of wind that into playing coach for PV.
Yeah. Well, obviously, I mean, obviously returning Lexi Woods is the nucleus piece. I think, you know, again, with Lexi, you're talking about Dylan there a second ago. What's neat there, Bruce, is on the girls' side. Lexi ended her junior season with 11.55. She's 33rd all time on the girls list. She's going to have an opportunity to become Paint Valley's all time leading scorer. And if she does that, she's got a chance to maybe finish top 10 in the history of our conference. So because I think you've heard me say this before, because of Ella Skeens at Southeastern, mm-hmm. we forget about how special a player Lexi Woods is in our conference right now. I think if I were going to she's such a skilled kid. At her size, I would think for her opportunity to play at the next level, which is certainly there, I think mentioning Skeens, I think what Skeens has done athletically in the last, say, 12 months mm-hmm. is something that I think Lexi could really do. Lexi's gone through a couple little injuries here and there. And, man, when she really got back into game shape about halfway through her junior season, she became a bear. I mean, you're talking about a kid that I want to say, including her 27 and 28 game performances in the sectional, I want to say over like the last seven games, she averaged like 25 points a game. Mm. I mean, she can really play. So I would think athletically really going to work on the foot quickness and some of the agility and some different things, because if she gets herself showing some of the scouts that she can maybe play that two or three position at the college level, I think that's going to make her a little bit higher level recruit in terms of playing at the next level. She's really, really skilled. I guess as far as Paint Valley goes too, because they have a kid that's probably close to 6'2", and Kelsey Dunn, I would say that the Dunn girl, her footwork and her agility become really important. And I think anytime with her just developing the footwork first and then being able to counter move off of that. This year she was just kind of a turnaround jump shooter. Mm-hmm. If she develops the footwork and in the skill set to show shot, counter move a little bit and do some things around the rim, her playing with a player like Lexi, her playing with a guard that's going to get more experience like Leah McFadden, they've got the chance to be pretty good there. So those two players probably jump out at me as the off-season keys for Paint Valley to answer that question.
Okay, let's say that you're Jeff Miller. And you've got a freshman class heading into your sophomore class. What you gonna have them working on, Jeff?
Well, I mean, obviously they got to get better, okay. But let's make no mistake about it. This is a really talented group.
Oh yeah.
I think anytime I'm working with young kids, Bruce, in today's game, you're always talking bigger, faster, stronger. So you know, you heard me talk about the Piketon boys earlier. Well, the girls' game seems to transition quicker because the girls mature quicker. But I still see a big difference when you go freshman to sophomore, sophomore to junior year in the girls' game, getting a little bit stronger. I would challenge each kid to just add something to their game. I think I even touched on this last week. Like Emily Coleman's a really talented freshman point guard. If the stat sheet I saw was correct, her free throw shooting has to improve. She's way too good a player not to be better in that area, especially being a point guard that's going to handle it late in games. That would be an example. Everyone who listens to the show knows how high I am on Cottrell and Stolle. Those are kids that I think if they're able to develop a little bit more in their offensive game and the way they scored, the Stolle's kind of scratching the surface a little bit, maybe becoming a little bit more consistent shooter, scoring in the mid-range. I think Cottrell is tremendous with her IQ, but I would like to see her become even more of a threat scoring in the mid-range. And if I'm going to continue to coach at another league school, maybe I wouldn't like to see that as much. But
right.
those are some of the things. Like, you could even throw in, even though she's a class ahead, Fisher, but I mean, goodness, Bruce, Uniota's freshman class, even going down to their JV level. Jeff's daughter, Alexis, is a tremendous shooter. The Pinkerton girl is a really good athlete. I mean, you're talking about an all league, all district performer in some other sports. So, you know, you're talking about a deep, deep class that's going to offer 5-6 things. So, I mean, as I go into the off season, I guess my focus with kids like that comes more to, because they've played the game at a younger age. Mm-hmm. They've worked on the left hand. They honestly, with them, it is about just becoming refining a little bit. Bigger, faster, stronger, continue to play the game together. And yeah, that's a special group. There's no question about it.
Well, I hope Jeff is listening.
Yeah, I'm sure he needs that advice.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Well, we got a few minutes here. I know the executive producer, and if we run long, so what? But I'm going to switch things up on you, and I just am interested in what your response would be. Let's go back to the boys for just a second and pick a few of them. And, of course, the one that comes to my mind is if you were Swingle's coach, what would you have him work on over this off season?
Well, I think Dylan did an amazing job in this last off season, yeah, with his body. You know, when you're young and you're that size, a lot of times you're working through the agility thing. He's always moved really well. His freshman, sophomore year, had some really good years, but he's completely gone to a different level. And I think with him just continuing to work on the body, and keep in mind that you're working toward that Division I college body, and you're working, developing a work ethic, developing, you know, just good habits, good nutrition, good, you know, just good things, because he's a once in a lifetime opportunity in the SVC. But for him, his goals have to be set individually to that next level in terms of what he's trying to do. He's really extended his range out. I think he's even going to extend it out more to the three-point line by next year. I think that could be one. Obviously, he doesn't want to fall in love with that, but let's face it, in today's game, if he can show the college scout that ability as well. I've been real impressed with his left hand development over the last year. That's something I would continue to want him to work at. And then I would still like to see him, as soft as his touch is from the 16, 17 foot range. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see him maybe up the free throw percentage. I had him right around 61, 62, 63%. Mm-hmm. I think Dylan's a good enough touch to be more of a 77, 78, 79. I really believe that. So, and if he can do that, think about what it's going to do to his scoring average because of how many times he gets there. So that's probably something. But man, what a treat to watch. And he's a good kid. And when you're dealing with a college recruit of that level, it's not just about the basketball part, Bruce. Mm-hmm. You're probably talking to him about, hey, let's make sure we're getting it done in the classroom. Let's make sure that, you know, we're doing all of those things the proper way as well. So which he does. So just a tremendous kid. Really happy for him, and hopefully he'll continue to work at it.
Well, let's just throw it open to you, Coach Combs here. What other boys players would you like to take under your wing and mentor this offseason?
You know, the boys is kind of an interesting thing, because on one hand, you might have some Zane Trace freshmen that you want to do the bigger, faster, stronger thing with, mm-hmm, or, you know, we talked about that. The Uniota trio is interesting because, you know, when I look at them, they work hard. It's kind of like the Uniota girls. You don't have to go and tell Logan Swackhammer and Peyton Hill and Brandon Kennedy, hey, work on your game, because mm-hmm, you're talking about kids that year round are just gym rats. They constantly play. They've even bought into the working on the body, you know, with the new trainers, and in this day and age, it's kind of different. To me, what I would challenge, you know, take like a Logan Swackhammer, for example, what I would challenge them to do is the film room. The way technology's improved from when I played, you know, I used to watch a lot of film as a player, but I didn't have access to nearly what they have access to now. I would challenge, you know, Swackhammer is such a talented passer. and such a talented player, you know, evaluating himself on film and looking for opportunities to read the game even more at a higher level and a higher level and a higher level. Because I think what happens with him sometimes is he is so talented. Sometimes, and I was impressed with the way he played against McLean the other day, sometimes all he has to do is make the simple play.
Mm-hmm.
And when he does, he's really unguardable. I mean, you can't keep him in front. He just makes the simple pass. And he really created a lot of easy scoring opportunities for his teammates the other day. So with a kid like Hill, you know, his ability to stretch the defense with the jump shot a little bit, but probably for him being able to put it on the floor, because at his size, if he can come out to that mid-range post and square up and make a lot of hard one-dribble moves, because his feet are pretty good. Yeah, so you've heard me talk about his footwork before. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see him from about the middle post area, that 10, 12, 13-foot range, where he's able to square up and make a lot of good one-dribble, two-dribble moves with a little bit of a counter move. And then he's a nice passer as well. There's been some games this year where I've noticed him having 5-6 assists. So, yeah, the Uniota kids are a little bit different. And I hate to leave out some people throughout the league. I'm sure I am.
Yeah.
But those are just some of the things. Like, if you're dealing with a younger kid, you're probably dealing with bigger, faster, stronger. But again, once you're dealing with an all-league kid, you're probably looking at a kid that obviously plays a little bit. He obviously puts some time into it. So what I would be looking at is, what's one weakness that I can go to work on in the off season and simply make better? Because if you can do that with a kid that's already all-league, obviously you're taking a kid that's starting to make himself quite elite.
Yeah, we could go on all night, but if people
it's fun.
Have other,
I mean,
yeah.
that is something I enjoy doing.
Well, if anyone has some specific people that they might want discussed, I guess you can contact Shane, and maybe privately you guys can do it over email or whatever. So this is our final basketball show, but next we look to a new segment here on SVC Sports Talk that will be named by one of our former voices here on the show. More right after this. Welcome back to episode 183 of SEC Sports Talk, and I kind of teased there before we went into the break about a new segment here on SEC Sports Talk, and I got to tell you, I wish I had like a big fanfare to play for you or something, Shane, but and this is named in honor of one of the former hosts of this very show, that being the Jeremy Ward Special.
Yes.
Why don't you explain to everybody out there why we're calling it the Jeremy Ward Special and just how special this is?
Well, one of Jeremy Ward's favorite parts of the show, and not really.
Not really.
The
irony implied here.
Yes, we were asked one year to this time of year. You start to get a lot of people eliminated from the tournament, or, you know, let's say you're a parent of a younger group or whatever. We would always have some questions about, hey, who do you think can be, player of the year next year? Who do you think can win the league, or who's the favorite going in the off season or whatever? And Jeremy would always get so mad because he'd be like, hey, this season's not even over. Why are we talking about next year?
Yeah.
So it kind of became an ongoing joke here on SVC Sports Talk. So I thought we would just go ahead and with some of these questions coming in, as they always do this time of year, we'll just go ahead and call this the Jeremy Ward Special.
All righty. And we did contact Jeremy and ask for his thoughts on this, and here's what we got. Able to use the crickets twice tonight.
Yes.
No. All right. He would, if he were here, he would roll his eyes at the following subjects. For 2017-2018, boys and girls, Uniota boys, Southeastern girls, repeat, ?
Well, I think obviously with Uniota boys, they have to be the favorite. gosh, I hate to be like this, but you know, with Uniota, it really becomes a question of they're not going to win the not of them winning the league. It becomes a question of will they lose a game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and I think they fairly have earned that until someone beats them. You know, because you could argue, Bruce, there's four or five teams in our league that can't be as good next year as they are this year. Well, Uniota just won this league by 5 games. Yeah. So, you know, that doesn't show very well for the league's chances. Now, I will say this, by the second half of next year, in terms of maybe them losing a game, mm-hmm. there could be a couple teams that if a couple of their younger pieces start to develop and so forth, they could go. Now, obviously, 2 years down the line, I think there's going to be a couple teams in the league that are really ready to come back toward the top to where we've used to seeing some of their programs. But as far as next year goes on the boys side, yeah, Uniota. Now Southeastern, I know Wheeler's gone, obviously with Skeens back, I think she makes them the favorite, but obviously the Uniota group, I know they feel like they're going to make a year's improvement and they're going to be right there. So that'll be an interesting discussion to have as we come up. But I think just with Ella Skeens' special ability in the pieces that she still has back around her, I think you're going to see a play. There may not be a bigger breakout star in our league next year than Skylar Heiss.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you're going to see Southeastern still wear that bullseye, just having a three-time player of the year back in Ella Skeens. That'll be going for an unheard of 4 straight next year.
Well, speaking of that, the next question that we would ask Jeremy and he would roll his eyes at are, will Swingle and Skeens, the players of the year, both return as such? Anyone else challenging them for these awards? And you kind of just gave away, I think, what your answer is going
to
be.
Well, but I guess what's unique here is not to try to debate Jeremy on this, is sometimes these are fun discussions to have. Swing on Skeens kind of make them boring. I mean, always have the situation of the team success, right?
Right.
The Uniota kids, obviously Hill and Swackenberg, any of those kids are capable of having great years. I think McCloskey is going to have a great year as a junior. He really has come on strong as a sophomore. The Zane Trace balance. I think there's going to be some boys that really have some good years. I just think, again, you're talking about a once-in-a-lifetime talent in Swingle here in our league, that he's just going to be really hard to take out of that particular position, because no matter what the numbers say, and I think his numbers are going to be phenomenal, but no matter what the numbers say, just the eye test is going to tell you that he's unique. Same way with Skeens. I'm not saying that a Uniota could not team-wise close the gap on them, but they're going to do it with such great balance. I just don't know, again, if the eye test is going to tell you anything different. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously on the girls' side, Woods is a great player. Collins, McDonald, we talked about them earlier. Python's going to have some nice guard play. But I just don't know if from a player of the year standpoint, just the eye test alone isn't going to bring you back to those two people.
I agree. I think I'm going to write that down right now, that I think Swingle and Skeens will both repeat. So you got that going for you. All you people out there. Hey, want to give you some information about how you can subscribe to SVC Sports Talk. You can do so in the iTunes store. Just go to the iTunes store if you're an iPhone user, an iPad user, and put in SVC Sports Talk, and we should pop up there some point. In fact, we should be pretty much close to the top. And if you do find us on there, why don't you give us a great rating and a favorable review? You can also do a email subscription, which you get through any of the posts on the DBK website. And then you can also subscribe through a podcatcher, like that podcast app that's on your iPhone and maybe on your Android device or whatever you happen to use. And that app will watch for our new episodes in the feed, and as they come out, automatically download them if you have it set correctly. I guess that is the big challenge to do so. You can also contact us and provide us some feedback. We're going to talk about the kind of feedback here that we'd like to hear from you, and you can do that by several different methods. First, to contact Shane Combs, you can do so by email at admin1@svcsportzone.com. He also maintains his two profiles on Facebook, one being svcsportzone.com and one being Shane Combs, svcsportzone.com, I believe. And you can follow him on Twitter at svcsportzone.com. Derek Webb of the Chillicothe Gazette, who is not with us tonight, as you well know if you've listened to most of this episode. He is available through email at dweb@chillicothegazette.com and also available on Twitter. A great follow, very active, obviously, with sports of all kinds throughout the Chillicothe and SVC area. His handle there, at DW1509, and tell him Bruce and Shane sent you. We're going to move now into our post-game comments brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. Find them on the web, www.cnkathleticequipment.com. They are your source for local school apparel, fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment. You can give them a call also, 740-477-9828. Well, we are entering that last bit of our show here, and it's time to look to spring. It was a couple days ago on a Friday. I think it was 70 degrees, Shane, at least 70 degrees. I'd be very surprised if, well, I think you were probably in the gym, but had you not been in the gym, I think you probably would have been up at Crown Hill, knowing you.
Well, actually, I was at baseball practice. We practiced at 76 degrees, and then the next morning when I woke up, I think it was 38.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it was.
If you don't like the weather in Ohio, just wait a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Shane, what are the big spring headlines that we can look forward to as this next season that we enter into unfolds?
Well, Bruce, I think on the softball side, it has to be Michaela Newland and the Paint Valley Lady Bearcats with Leah McFadden back at catcher experience. I think they become a team to really watch. I know Uniota is going to be really young. Westfall obviously has good programs. Zane Trace, a lot of the same contenders are going to be there. But Paint Valley, who hasn't won a lot of league titles in the last 25 years in anything not named football, I think enters the year with a realistic goal of that. Then on the baseball side, you have four teams still in the combo. Maybe coaches are waiting to get some kids in. We'll talk a lot about the teams, but I think what steals the headline in terms of just right now is the pitch count. We'll talk a lot about that when we get into our spring shows, and I won't go into detail tonight, but I think in terms of spring headlines, that certainly has to be there at the top on the baseball side.
Okay. And I was going to ask you, too, we do have several weeks off. I was just going to ask, do you recall the date that we're going to start putting the shows back
together?
Well,
we had debated. The softball baseball opens that last Saturday there in March, I believe it is. I think we were either looking at that weekend or maybe even flirting with the idea of going one more week.
I think the 9th is what we...
Yeah, because I think the reason being is the league opens on that following Friday. Mm-hmm. So teams will play their doubleheader on that Saturday. They'll get some non-league Monday through Thursday if they choose in their scheduling, and then the league starts there. So that'll give us a chance. And I think we said that we had about six shows we were going to run out of, five or six there in the spring. So, yeah, we'll
still
let people know
on that. Over that. Well, during this period of time, what kind of feedback would you most like to hear from the fans over the next several weeks before the SVC Sports Talk returns?
Well, we'd obviously love your spring topics because that's what drives the show. But I guess I wanted to throw something different out there real quick, Bruce, and I won't take too long because I know we're running late here. But the expectation of our area, the one thing we've done with SVC Sports Zone, or we've tried to do six years of SVC Sports Talk, I think it's in year 8 of the website, is we've tried to push some of the radio. We've tried to push some of the newspaper. Hey, let's do some more. Let's cover some more. Let's do this. Let's do that. Well, I think a guy like Derek Webb has really answered the bell on that, hasn't he? I mean, he's really done a super job of covering our kids. No matter if you like what he writes or doesn't, or your school doesn't get covered enough. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that happens with all media. I'm sure you say that about us. I'm sure you say that about the radio. But my point is, he covers a ton of area stuff. Our sports has far more of a local flavor than it ever has here in the last probably at least 6-7 years. So I guess my question to the fans would be, I challenge you to communicate, what is it that you want? What kind of coverage or what kind of support Would you like to see Given moving forward and understand what is it that Derek has the power to do? What is it that I have the power to do? A lot of times it becomes maybe if you're wanting a certain thing, put a little bit more pressure on the sponsors, or put a little bit more pressure on some of the schools to give certain things. So I guess my question would be, beyond the normal spring coverage, what is it that you would like to see different in the coverage? What's one or two things on SVC Sports Talk or SVCSportsZone.com or in the Chillicothe Gazette or on WKKJ or in the way games are called, whatever it is, what are some things that you would like to see incorporated? And then let's really talk together and see, because I think what you'll find is if you're someone who truly wants to read more or listen to more high school sports stuff, then we're on the same team and we need to kind of figure out together what we can do to make it happen.
Yep. So if anybody, you can rewind us if you'd like to and get the contact information and let us just know what you would like to hear covered, how you would like to hear it covered, and maybe some ideas about that kind of thing, because we would we'd do everything that we could within reason to, you know, to make that happen. That's what we would like to do. And I really do think that that Derek has done a marvelous job. You know, I guess if you don't, you know, follow Twitter and you're only reading his coverage, but if you do have a Twitter account, do yourself a favor and start following him on Twitter, because he knows the subject matter. He knows the people that he covers very well, has personal relationships with many of those people. And that just turns it into really something pretty amazing, I believe.
Yeah, it really does. It does a thorough job. And, you know, before we get out of here too, Bruce, I thank you. As we come to an end of a winter season here, we still have some spring to go. You and I have been together right from the start of it all. It's been fun. I think people really in the community enjoyed. I think SVC Sports Talk at times even overshadows the website. I think people still love the website, but they really seem to enjoy this week to week. And this is where all my feedback comes from, is just things that they've heard us talk about. So certainly enjoy it. We're going to be off for a while, but until the spring, I want to give a shout out to Triple Crown Family Fund Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website. For you, Bruce, there at DBK Media Services, appreciate all that you do. And for Derek Webb, wherever you are this evening at the Chillicothe Gazette, this is Shade Combs. Remind you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.